This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And as you certainly know by now, the weekend news was dominated by the attack on the shopping mall in Kenya. We'll look at the horrible aftermath of a terrorist attack and try to determine if a terrorist group the international community was recently declaring victory over has launched a new offensive, in fact. We'll also look at state trends of immigration-friendly laws in the U.S. challenging the federal government's lack of a policy, the tantalizing possibility of a new relationship between the U.S. and Iran, and the best National Football League money can buy, taxpayer money, that is, a conversation later this hour. But first, to Nairobi.
I'm standing at the perimeter that the Kenya security forces have set up outside the Westgate shopping mall. There was a significant assault overnight in which we heard reliable reports that people were killed on both sides, and we can see a giant plume of black smoke coming up off of the mall.
That's New York Times East Africa correspondent Nicholas Kulish, who we spoke to earlier today as he was right outside that flaming Westgate Mall.
No one knows exactly how this fire started, whether it was started trying to get into the building or whether it was started by the people inside, but it does seem to be bringing the situation to a head. There are believed to be hostages still inside, and there's a question of whether smoke inhalation could be a threat to them as well as the bullets of their assailants.
Nicholas Kulish of our partner, The New York Times, in Nairobi. Is this attack being coordinated by a terrorist network outside of Kenya? BBC reporter David Witte has spoken to a military commander of the group Al-Shabaab, based in Kismayo in Somalia. This commander called himself Abu Ammar.
Of course, not me personally, but there is an operation, there is a command center which has been in touch with the Mujahideen there at the moon, and all the operations have been were coordinated, of course.
Will the attackers be willing to negotiate a peaceful end to this standoff with the Kenyan forces?
There will be no negotiations. We've spoken to the Mujahideen inside Westgate, and they told us that the Kenyan government was urging them to negotiate, and was also giving them some incentives to come to dialogue, to the dialogue table.
An Al-Shabaab commander there speaking with the BBC. Meanwhile, there is a sense of national crisis in Kenya. President Uhuru Kenyatta addressed the nation on Sunday. He said security forces had already rescued 1,000 people from the mall and said the country would eventually triumph against its attackers.
They shall not get away with their despicable and beastly acts. Like the cowardly perpetrators now cornered in the building, we will punish the masterminds swiftly and indeed very painfully.
Another painful and tragic detail. Among those dead are the nephew of President Kenyatta and his nephew's fiancée. The Somali-based terrorist group Al-Shabaab is the perpetrator of this attack that has killed dozens, injured many more. The Westgate upscale shopping mall, the target. What does this episode mean in the larger war between international terrorist groups and the nation-states of the world? J. Peter Pham's director of the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council and co-author of Somalia, Fixing Africa's Most Failed State. Welcome.
Thank you.
So how much of this is a consequence of total chaos in Somalia, and how much of this represents some coherent vision of Al-Shabaab going forward?
Certainly, Al-Shabaab rose out of the chaos in Somalia, but this particular attack is really a failure on the part of the international community, including the United States. For the last 18 months, we've been going around telling ourselves that Shabaab is defeated, we have won Somalia, there's been irresponsible talk about a Somali model for conflict resolution applicable to other places in Africa. When in reality, Shabaab was certainly facing a change in its circumstances. It had lost considerable amounts of territory. There was internal dissension, but the group was far from defeated. It was a premature triumphalism that enabled Shabaab to get the breathing room with which to settle its internal scores and transform itself from a guerrilla insurgency into a full-fledged terrorist organization, which last year formally joined Al-Qaeda as its East African regional affiliate.
So let's talk a little bit about what happened in 9/11. There was talk post September 11th that Al-Qaeda had difficulty attracting the full attention of the U.S. government before the attacks on New York and the Pentagon, that not even the attacks on the embassies in Tanzania and Kenya or the attack on the USS Cole could fully do that. Is part of the mission here of al-Shabaab, attention shoppers around the world, we are still a global terrorist organization?
Well, I think they had several messages that this weekend's attack was meant to transmit. One was it was their first major operation regionally since becoming an al-Qaeda affiliate. So it was a message back to al-Qaeda Central that your confidence in us was not wasted. We are capable of contributing to this wider terrorist network. Secondly, it was a message to the international community. You thought us dead. You thought we were gone. We're reinvented as a terrorist organization. We're no longer just focused on Somalia, but we're across the region. It's also a message to potential supporters and recruits that this is a viable organization. Join us. And they couldn't have picked a more spectacular target. We're talking Nairobi, media and transportation and communications hub, really the economic engine of East Africa, the only UN headquarters in a developing country, number of diplomats who were either injured, killed, or the elites of Kenya who were present in the mall. They couldn't have picked a better target.
What do you make of the tactics here? Does this look like a classic sort of suicide event, or did they have some bizarre sort of tactical mission of possibly getting out alive? I mean, this looks like Beslan in Russia. This looks like the attacks in Mumbai.
They probably were realistic enough to recognize that Kenya was not going to let them get out alive, even if it meant that some hostages may have to lose their lives. And there are reports there are some hostages still being held. However, I think what the attack does show is the amount of sophistication. One doesn't plan an attack like this at the spur of a moment. It takes weeks, if not months, of planning, reconnaissance, careful operational planning, and tactical sophistication. For example, we have reports that they attacked at multiple levels simultaneously to create the maximum amount of confusion and casualties. So this is a very sophisticated operation that tells us that Shabaab is not only resurgent and acquiring new tactics that they didn't have before, but also that they have a support network and an active cell in Kenya itself. So I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching going on and a lot of examination of what Kenya and neighboring countries need to consider as threats within their own borders, as well as over the border in the chaos at Somalia.
Well, al-Shabaab, well-trained, well-armed, and apparently determined to thrive in a target-rich environment. J. Peter Pham, thanks so much.
Thank you.
J. Peter Pham is director of the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council and co-author of Somalia, Fixing Africa's Most Failed State.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.